Nimro. And he's quite the guy. We're going for the walk. I guess I better talk about a set of things. It came up again. It came to me this morning, Matt. I guess we'll wait for Mom outside, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh. Circumstances and situations and stuff like that. What's that interesting thing on their roof? You know, I should go over one day and ask about some of his stuff.
Oh, like the
Well, now there's this pipe up on his roof that's up on stands, and what's all that about? That's kind of cool. I wonder is it the power? Did he put in a whole bunch of solar panels on the other side?
Well, thought so.
You don't think so?
Thought so.
Right. Okay. Maybe so. I'm not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Our neighbor's doing cool stuff.
Purple.
One of our purple flowers has decided to come out, man.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a whole bunch over here. Look over here. There's some more.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming out.
And then it was spring.
It must be spring because our flowers, our purple flowers are coming out.
And those clouds are in the way.
Yeah, look at that tree, Matt. All the stuff that's on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's all now greenish.
Yeah, it's coming on. All of our trees are starting to come on. I need to snip off that one over there. Oh, I'm going to need to do some painting this when it warms up a little bit more, Matt, and do some repairs and things like that.
Looks like it might want to rain, but it's not in the forecast.
Yeah? It said it was going to be... I guess the number of clouds on the little pictures... You know, on that weather for us thing that you got? I think that's supposed to be kind of indicative of how much cloud cover you're supposed to have. And it seemed like it was going to be windy and not completely cloudy, but partly cloudy.
It's north wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Morning.
Yeah. I'm so sad. Yeah?
Yeah, just up to
35
months.
Oh, Maddie. Yeah, before it gets too weird.
I mean, it's supposed to get up to like 77 today.
Yeah, but windy. A windy 77. Mike, it almost feels kind of hot. Is it already time to start considering cleaning up the swamp cooler and get it ready for a new year yet?
It's supposed to be up to 80 this week.
Oh my gosh.
80 and 81.
Yeah.
On like Tuesday and Wednesday.
You know what I'd like to do?
What?
I want to clean up that little pipe that takes the water to it better so it doesn't look so crappy in the front.
What, the wire thing?
Yeah, it's not a wire. It's a little...
Yeah, I know.
It's the water line. Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like a wire.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah. I want to do that.
Great.
And then someday it'd be really nice to actually put a gutter over here on the north side. That would keep that stuff on the north side from growing into weird stuff too much. You know?
Yeah.
We can shuttle that over to where we're going to do the wash water anyway. And, yeah. Put it on the backyard, whatever garden we're going to end up having. Oh. But yeah, I'm recording, so I may go over stuff that we've already talked about this morning. Lisa and I, we used to do it more, and maybe I'll get back into the habit until I'm back in a state park somewhere. I'm going. Yeah, before I sleep in the state parks again. That, you know, maybe I might not do that too much. Who knows? Dad was of the same mind as I was on this, that this will probably break the back of working from home. And I said, well, I'm thinking that at the very least, they'll let me work from home on Mondays and Fridays.
Yeah.
You know. And he said, oh, that'd be nice. I said, yes, I think it would. I think Lisa would like that. Maybe. I don't know. Depends. Depends on how good I'm being. Anyway, but yeah, that was one of the topics to bring up. And a very long time ago, relative to now, maybe about 15 years ago, I was doing quite a bit of navel staring at the time. Came up with all kinds of interesting concepts, the whole Zenith thing, and then trying to describe myself, it was like, oh, well, he's ascetic, and that seemed to be the best word for it. I always tend to get these really weird religious terms and try to apply them in different contexts, and I think it really confuses people, but it's probably the best indication. You have to understand that a person like me, normally would have been stuck into some kind of monastery and, you know, lived a very strange life of, you know, asceticism, stuff like that. Anyway, so it's a whole thing of living a very reduced life. You know, a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people do, but sometimes people talk about having a full life. That means being able to do lots and lots of things. You know, I guess they say that a person with a full life has been able to travel and takes time to recreate and has experienced interesting places, you know, has a taste for interesting food from exotic places, and, you know, the stuff everybody kind of goes, ooh, that would be cool. I wish I could do that. If you ever said, I wish I could do that, a full person has done that and has brought back stories to tell, become these amazing raconteur types with the stories of the exotic places they've been and the exotic things they've done. Climbed Mount Everest. You know, sailed across the Pacific Ocean alone. Crap like that.
I've got the girls' in Fort
Cole. Oh, yeah. Ran with the Bulls. I think it's, what, Papalona or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but, yeah, huh? That kind of stuff. You got it. And this is something that somebody stuck in a cell in some monastery that they don't even give much thought about.
Don't tell me that you're...
No. No. That is not what I...
It's running up that hill. I'm excited.
That is not what I long for. Anyway, more of an ascetic life, which is kind of the opposite of living a full life. It's almost a life of, you could say it's a life of concentration on maybe one thing. This is, but most people can't do that. I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Is that, Good morning. I thought for a second that might be Andy, but then it's like, oh, I forget the thing. When you take off people's hair, they start looking alike. Got a little closer. It's like, okay, no, it's not.
I mean, the distance, I thought it was just calling the horse.
Oh, you know, but yeah.
But no. I saw him at Lowe's the other day when I was there.
Yeah.
He's growing a beard, big bushy beard.
I see. Stuff you couldn't get away with when he was married, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't let me do anything like that. And I'm not even sure I really want to.
If you wanted to, you could, but don't kiss me.
Kissing you is far more important to me than that. I would be a bad husband if I was doing it. That's why I don't have a man cave particularly or anything like that. Because as an ascetic, one of my great purposes is to try to be a good companion for Lisa.
Well, what would you do
which
in
is tricky.
Cave, Jason, but that's not all we could do, yeah.
I've seen what other guys do.
Yeah, but what do they do?
I don't know. Nothing that interests me.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's why I said I don't have a man cave. But one of those things is I've done a lot of adjustments to try to be a better husband for Lisa. It's tricky. You know?
What? Going walking?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do this under normal circumstances at all. Which is funny, you know. They said, well, you used to run when you were young. I said, oh, I think I was running more for therapy than anything else. And I can't.
Oh,
no. I do. But it runs the way you want it to be run.
The route?
Yeah, however. All of the particulars of it and the fact that we do it at all is because you want to do it.
Yeah. It's beautiful out here.
I'm like...
I love this.
I'm like Prince Philip to your Queen Elizabeth. You know? I'm the come along.
Well,
I know you don't think
you?
So. I am. Here I am. I'm here. Hi.
Hey.
I don't do a lot of independent things. That's why when I stay overnight at State Park, it's like, well, aren't you doing the things you would like to do? And you go, Lisa, I don't have anything I like to do. Well, that's not true, but...
Yes, I remember a time when...
They aren't.
I'm so
Oh, God. It's something that I'm going to regret having ever said.
Something
else. Yeah, I always do. Go ahead. You can say it anyway.
I need to quit.
What?
Just sitting next to you in the evening, because I have things I
want
to do too.
Yeah, I know. And what do? I don't do them.
Yeah.
Well, I come do them beside you. Because I like being there beside you. So, I think it's part of my job.
So, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know you've told me that. I think of that occasionally, but then it's like, oh, no, I'm not going to do anything. But I can't do it beside Lisa. I don't want her to feel like she's alone in the world. You know? I'm married to somebody, but I might as well not be, you know? I don't want us to get to that point.
Hmm?
Matt?
No, it ain't recording. I'm trying to get into music now because it's being offline. It's because there's no Wi-Fi on my phone.
It's because there's no Wi-Fi out here, Matt.
And thanks to you, Dad, you didn't put that Wi-Fi in there.
Yes, Matt,
Wi-Fi.
I am evil.
You can always put Wi-Fi when you're near Wi-Fi.
Lisa, there's no point. There's no point in trying to explain it to him. I'm just evil. Okay. I get the same thing from Shayna. You can explain to your blue in the face about why things are, and it doesn't matter, so it's like, don't waste your breath. Just say yes. Your father's a mean, nasty, rotten man. It's okay. Well, I don't know if it's okay, but that's always the way it's going to be. Broken people, man. So that's what it is. The asceticism has something to do with trying to find something decent to do with yourself instead of becoming just a, I don't know what to call it. Anyway, becoming something bad.
For me,
yeah?
Asceticism is the barest essential.
Well, that's kind of what I do. Look, I live in a freaking... I talked myself into living in the back of a truck. Now, I don't live in a tent. But that was, frankly, a little bit more... I wouldn't say elevated, but it was a little more involved. When you live in the back of an SUV, you know, I don't even have to set anything up. I park the thing, I turn off the lights, I take off my clothes, go in the back, and I go to bed. To go pretty simple life. Yes, I think asceticism is I wouldn't even say it's enforced, except by yourself, simplicity. I guess you could call it voluntary simplicity, but in some weird kind of psychological sense, I don't think it's very voluntary on my part that I've got to do it in order not to kill people. So yeah, don't throw complicated problems at me, or you're gonna probably regret it for saying, oh my gosh, I thought he was a really capable person. I go on projects that I can concentrate on. And in situations that don't have too many billions of variables. So I'm pretty good because I can actually handle quite a few variables. Probably why I'm... Even though I've studied leadership and I ostensibly at least run a class that's supposed to teach it, which I think is hilarious, pathetic, but I don't do it, and I think the organization would be foolish to try to get me into that. trying to handle something like that. Even though I handle bigger picture things, that doesn't mean I'd make a good manager of bigger picture things. Anyway, so that came up this morning. I was just sitting there, and I said, oh, man, I hadn't been thinking along those lines in ages. And I said, oh, Nemro, you need to remember. He says, I mean, you don't need to dwell on it any. He says, but you need to remember that, yes, this still remains the person you are. It's still true. You just didn't think about it until a situation came up like yesterday, or the day before yesterday, or whatever. Missionaries were wanting to come up with a sacrament meeting for an investigator right now with this COVID virus. Buildings are closed and sacrament meetings are not happening. People are doing the sacrament ordinance either in their homes or were taking the sacrament ordinance to people. This is, you know, we always say, oh, we do it to the shut-ins and the widows. Well, right now, everybody's a shut-in. So, it's like, for people who can't go to church, get their needs taken care of. Anyway, so, yeah, at least once a month. And apparently the missionaries have some kind of rule on them that says that missionaries can't go to get the sacrament without an investigator. And I said, whoa, who came up with that crazy? I know it's based on the fact that it's based on two or three things that have been mushed together, but I don't think they thought about it very hard. Because there's kind of a not rule, but kind of a policy, I guess. And it's not even that. A lot of mission presidents don't want to let people get baptized who have never even darkened the door of a church, who don't know anybody in their area, you know, because and it's a fact that people who don't feel connected to their local congregation will just tend to just walk away from the church. You know, it's statistical, as far as I'm aware of. So they have this thing that you couldn't baptize somebody until they at least darkened the door of the church three times. Sacrament meeting. Well, somebody decided that the sacrament ordinance equated to the sacrament meeting, which is wrong. It's very confusing. You get this idea. And there's some interesting policies around the sacrament ordinance when it's being done in a public meeting, which is what sacrament meeting is, a public meeting. Well, no. It's a meeting. That's why we're not having it, because it's a meeting. If it was just a public venue, who would care? Anyway, it's a meeting, and as part of it, you do the sacrament ordinance. Now, they've made certain accommodations for the fact that it would be very disruptive to the spirit if an argument broke out about whether somebody was allowed to take the sacrament or not. It says, we have just shifted that by saying, you know, do we give the sacrament to members of non-members? And you go, no. But, if, you know, the sacrament meeting, we don't make a point of it. We don't get upset if somebody who shouldn't be taking the sacrament takes the sacrament. We're not going to get weird about it. It says, but that's mostly because we don't want anything to distract from the spirit. Well, the missionary said, hey, we can come over to your house with our investigator and we can all have the sacrament there. And I said, the sacrament's a renewing of your baptismal covenant. I said, you know, I tried to explain it. I don't think I did it particularly well, but it's a text message for Pete's sake. You don't have 5,000 characters to write a freaking diatribe on it. I thought I did a pretty good, dang good job for the amount of space I had. Of course, I'm sure people would come back and say no. And you go, well, whatever. Most people would rather everybody just shut up and do what they're told. And you're going, sorry. I said, most of the time I'm fine with just doing what I'm told, but I'm not going to be forced into a situation that I have an intrinsic problem with. Anyway. And I said, well, here's my problem. And I wish I had it in front of me because I think I stated it really well, much better than I can trying to explain it. It's much more succinct than I think it says makes the point better, but it's not here, so I can't read it. Anyway, I basically said, boy, check in with the branch president about this. At a sacrament meeting, we don't get weird when non-members take the sacrament. So, however, this is sounding like an invitation for them to have the sacrament. They said, and this is, no.
Because they said in this email to Beth River, she wants to take the sacrament.
Yeah, and they were stating it as the ordinance, and you're going, no. No, the ordinance is not for her. She's unbaptized. I was almost tempted to throw in there, you should help her to get the sacrament from her own faith, her existing faith group. Which, yeah, it's like, what are you saying? And you're going, the whole point of them coming to church is not to take the sacrament when they're investigators. It is to make connections to the local congregation. Maybe. I don't think that's the important part. I think the important part is to make connections with the local congregation so that when they are baptized, they have somebody that they're already kind of having connections with to help them along in their progression when the missionaries are going to be transferred out and all that other stuff happens. It says it has... Having investigators at our sacrament meeting has nothing to do with taking the sacrament. It has to do with five other things. It says, now we're not going to sit there and tell them not to take the sacrament, but we're not going to encourage them to do it. And you go, in my house, all we're doing is the ordinance. We're not doing anything else. Says that maybe I should just be really obvious and say, elders, new converts should not attach themselves to the church via me. Now, if it's Lisa you're fishing for, fine. I am not your friend shipper. Friendshipper. They're not my fellow yet. After they're baptized. That's why I said friendshipper. That's what they are at the beginning. I don't mean to be rude. There's specific terms for this. They want me to be their friend. You know? And you're going, I don't have many friends. I says, no, I'm sorry. You can tell me all day long that I need to be friends with people, but you know what? It's a two-way street. They have to want to be friends with me. And you go, very soon, they will find out that I am not friend material. And you know, freely say, sorry, it's a failing on my part, it's practically genetic. I said, I'm not a good friend. You expect things from friends that you're not going to get from me particularly. So I expect other people to be reasonably self-sufficient. I said, I don't like people who are really needy. I'm sorry. It says, and that's what friendshiping is supposed to handle, by and large, is people who are really needy. Look at Don Bell. Oh, my gosh. I said, I couldn't express it in word counsel because they keep bringing her in. And it's like, well, then I can't talk about it. Because I'm not going to say something that might be construed as not being very nice to her. Well, I said, you know, all this stuff about her being the librarian and being the...
the librarian.
Yes, I know, but Kara's not doing anything with it, and everybody knows that. That's fine. And I'm not saying that she would do a bad job. She's doing a wonderful job. The problem is, I said, she's a social butterfly. She expects that when she does something, the whole branch is supposed to crowd around and be supportive. And you're going... this is not that group. I said, Andy, you and your family are going to get tired of the fact that you're carrying the whole social program of this ward. I said, you have to understand, these are people from a different time, and they're from here, very independent. If they have friends, they are friends of somewhat of convenience. And they expect you to handle your problems, and you expect to handle theirs, and there is anticipated that there will be absolutely minimal need for any kind of welfare whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going, I says, I'm not, you know. I says, all I'm saying is that's kind of the culture you've dropped into. These are not a bunch of expatriate Utahns. I don't mean to be rude. And the few people we have that claim it, they're probably the worst for this, strangely. You know? The Wettons, they expect you to take care of your needs just like they do. And you go, that's exactly the way our culture is here. They bought land and moved to a culture that they're very compatible with. Jealous Cisneros, she's used to being on her own.
Yeah,
and handling whatever needs to be handled. And you're going, yeah. I said, I'm sorry to say that, you know, and the swaps say, well, we're going to retire here. And you go, I see your enthusiasm. You know, said, but this place will break you. He says, there's only two kinds of people here now. He says, the old timers who were very self-sufficient and did whatever was required and stuff like that, and then the cockroaches. And I said, I'm sorry, you're starting to hit up against the cockroaches, and those cockroaches will eat you alive. You know, I said, man, you're going to... It says, and it's funny, it's mostly people who just kind of dropped here by accident. They're not here by some weird design. You know, Don, why the hell is she in Tucumcari? And you go, I have no idea. She's not from here. Why is this guy here? Why is that guy here? And they go, they just kind of fell here. Yeah, this is, and they didn't come here for a good reason. They came here because they were abiding by the law.
Yeah.
This is a common problem here. People come here to hide, some of them. It didn't used to be a problem. It seems to be a bigger problem. Yeah. And they say, I'm so sorry, it's just people that just really don't have any prospects. because her kids are going to be basically like she was, just kind of a... Yeah, so she's turning into her mom, and her kids are turning into... Oh. You have to be an intrinsically strong person to live in that environment and not do it. She was an intrinsically strong person. Your mom was a very strong... You're a very strong person. You noticed everything.
I didn't notice it until I went to my neighbor's.
Yeah.
Smoked up to me.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't breathe. The cars
were loud. Yeah, you go, I can't stay here. I'm sorry. You're wonderful people, but I can't do this. And I'm just aesthetic, you know. If there's a reason to stay away from people, I'll stay away from them. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. Your trouble. Yes. Like I said, it took me a very long time to decide that people who smoked weren't evil. I think I've gotten to that point, but I still got that thing back in the back of my head. I don't know if I so much, if they're evil, it's like, you're weak. And I'm not very accommodating of weakness. Other people need to handle helping weak people. I really either struggle with it or I just ignore it. I ignore the fact that they're weak. I don't know. It doesn't mean I won't help them. I mean, look, I help the Armijos. I'm not like a whole lot of my other pull up your bootstrap sort of people. Well, that's at least a step up. Oh yeah, she settled here. She plopped here. Sorry,
yeah.
Probably the right way to say it. And getting her out of here is pointless. And
she went off the left. She could have stayed.
Well, things didn't go well for her. And she came back, and it's like, well, now what are you doing? You're not doing well. But, yeah, you know, I don't have anything to say on that issue. Like, yeah, you know, because I'm surrounded by broken people. What do? I just ignore they're broken. People say, well, we've got to help them with this and this, and I'm like, they're not going
to
change. I'm still going
to
help them.
They have to want to help them.
Yeah, and people go, oh, no, you got to give them encouragement and work on trying.
I
You're
do.
Going,
After
you guys are wonderful.
They
no.
show an initiative that I want to make something
That's fine. That's fine.
Then I'll get my encouragement.
Oh, you're fine. You've actually come up with a rationalization. I don't... I'm perfectly willing to say, no, I'm a bad person. I'm glad that you nice people are willing to go help these people, even though they're intransigently... Hang on there. Okay. Let's just go across the street. Okay. Now we can go over there. Yeah, noisy thing too. Anyway. But no. I'm glad you've got a good rationalization for the way you do it. I don't. I just say, you know. I said, I'm sorry. I can't help them that way because if I got a teaching situation, I'd be angry with them. And you go, yeah. It says, I'm, no. Yeah, I said, sorry. I'm not the right person. Even if I've gotten myself out of debt, I have no hope that they'll ever be able to get themselves out of debt. It says, they don't even have the strength to do two or three other things. I'm glad he does his baby stuff. I said, I'll give them the information. They can act on it, but I expect them to act on it. And I'm grateful for people, but see, there's hardly anybody here in our town that goes to our church that's like that. They're all the self-sufficient people. They didn't come to the LDS church.
There's tons of people that help out with the commodities.
Yeah. That's fine. Gives me something to do.
We were going to...
That's right. We're going to keep going for a little bit more.
Washington.
And then circle. Yeah. That's right. Mom has a good plan. See? You got the plan. We don't question it. He's got the plan.
Are you murmuring up there, Matt?
Yeah.
Matt,
that's where he's thinking.
If you want to, Matt, you can go back to the house. You don't have to go this way if you don't want to.
But you got to get yourself ready to hike up front, too.
If you want to, yeah. For all I know, he'll say, no, I don't want to.
No, I'm talking
bad
about...
Bad day, something.
That's not even
all right. Oh. You know, in Scotland, they legalize what's called wild camping, which is you can take a tent or an RV or something, and you can pretty much go anywhere you want to, as long as you're not disturbing somebody's garden. You can even camp on private property as long as you don't disturb things, particularly. Well, apparently, with the COVID-19 stuff, people are taking the opportunity to get the heck out of populated places, and they're starting to screw up the islands. All of them. Yeah. And they're saying, here's the problem. We hardly get enough supplies because they have to be shipped to us.
Yeah.
We don't produce our own particularly. It says, and we're getting inundated. It says, our population has all of a sudden doubled. I said, yeah, we don't have the resources to handle a doubling of this. It says, and these people are starting to get gritty. You know, I came up here because I thought I was going to escape all the problems. I said, no, you're the problem. You brought it with you.
Yeah.
Have you realized that yet? Anyway, so yeah. A manifestation of that guy that the grocery store people were talking about that was obviously not from around here, but came and bought up every shred of meat he could find. And you're going, yeah, if they find that they're,
Yeah, actually, there's a sign on the thing. Only two packages of like meat are on. Buy one chicken, you can only buy one other chicken. Buy one pork, you can only buy one other pork.
Yeah. That's good.
Equal or lesser value.
That's good. Just to keep the hoarders down.
Yeah.
So because you guys are taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyway. So. Yeah, so. The Scottish Isles are experiencing problems, and they are. They're almost telling people, I said, no, go home. Go home. Go back to the place where you live, where you come from. You can't decide to temporarily move up here. We don't have the resources to handle a huge boost in population. Says yes, and you're starving out the people that make these places possible.
Yeah.
You're being very rude. No, those guys are setting up for months. Yeah. That was the whole thing about wild camping. You weren't supposed to stay very long, and you weren't supposed to damage anything, and you're going, yeah, you guys don't have any choice but to start damaging stuff. And you expect somebody else to fix the problem. You know, once you leave, or even while you're there, go knock on that landowner's door and say, hey, can I borrow your Wi-Fi? And it's like, no, you cannot. Why not? Just because you're not supposed to be here. Well, you're not being very generous, and it says, no, you're taking advantage of generosity. I'm glad you're picking the route, because this was confusing the heck out of me.
I'm just going around the park and then back up home.
Oh, okay. Why don't you go the other way? More direct.
Because this way I get to go off a hill a little bit.
Oh, I'm telling you, everything you do makes sense. It's just that I don't see it.
I got it.
You're awesome. Anyway, so oh yeah, it does. It's almost like we're gonna have to close off a lot of access just so we can get food. It's almost tempting. It's like you should put barricades up around the, you know. At First Street, just inside of where the hotels are and the other end of town, and say, if you're not a local, you shouldn't be going down this road. And go and say to the grocery store, you're going to have to check for residency or something. Oh.
Yeah.
And then say, you know, I'm sorry. Otherwise, we can't help you here. No, because then you'll get inundated by saying all the hospitals are full in Amarillo. You know, therefore, if we're coming filling up the hospital in Tucumcari, you go, what do the people in Tucumcari do? They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. They're in a hospital. And they have more of a right to a hospital than you do.
Find a penny, pick it up, open it, that's
it. Yeah. And you're going, this is getting weird. People aren't being intrinsically kind, so governments and regulations have to force them to at least not be terrible. And you're going, too late, guys, you're being terrible. If you're coming from someplace else and buying out our food, our grocery store says, we're going to hunt you down, get the snot out of you until you figure out that you don't want to come to Tucumcari ever again.
Well,
because I'm sorry.
I looked at the price of the week,
double. Lisa, it doesn't matter. That's not a deterrent. It doesn't stop them. No, yeah. But that's only because you take the time to go someplace else. Most people in town can't. You know, and tell people if they're traveling through, which they should not be doing. So I don't mean to be rude. You're not supposed to be traveling right now. I said, there's truck stops. You know, there's the truck stops out there. Those are for travelers. There's all sorts of these other things. They're for travelers. You're not supposed to be traveling anyway. You're going, no, there's places to stay there. You know, all of our motels are out there. You say, well, they cost more. And you go, tough. Of course, our friend is a member of the church that runs the Americana, the poor guy downtown. And they're going, I don't know if I can help you, man, except to throw money at you just to keep you alive. But we've got things to do that, too. Because I'm sorry, is the grocery store suffering? No, it's exciting for them. They're making money hand over freaking fist.
Yeah.
They are so excited.
Because they haven't lowered their prices.
No, in fact, they could easily raise their prices, and what on earth could you do? As long as they're not obvious about it, they can get away with it. And the fact that they're cleaned out every day, boy, let me tell you, they say, send me all the stock you can. I'll sell every single stinking bit of it. I love this. I'm not even running a business anymore. I'm just running people throwing money at me. This is fantastic. I don't even have to think. You guys have boiled shit in a can? Send me crates of it, man. It's going out the door. I'll sell it for $100 a case. This is amazing. So yeah, you know, everybody's suffering. You go, no, some people are suffering. Other people are making it like gangbusters. The grocery stores are just going, oh my gosh. I've never lived in a world like this. This is amazing. Now, pretty soon it's going to be the whole problem of, well, it's great the first part, you know, the first day of the month, as soon as the EBT cards get filled up, oh my gosh, they clean us out like nothing. It starts petering off, you know, because let me tell you, under these conditions, will anybody who has an EBT card, the minute it has money on it, they are going to go, and they're going to spend every bit of it. Every single last penny of it. Because to do anything else is stupid. It's the same thing with the people who are on welfare. Same thing with the people on Social Security. They get their checks once a month. It says, can I say what might happen? The federal government might decide that they're going to chunk it up into weekly payments to try to spread this thing out so that people don't, so that the 1st of April isn't a freaking riot. Because it's proving up to be, if I was in Santa Fe or Washington right now, that's the first thing I would say is, man, you got to start stretching out those payments and giving it to them a little bit at a time.
They want it the first part of the month because they have bills to pay.
I know. But you know what? What choice are they going to have? Because it is. The first of the month is going to be insane. I wish there was some place to go. But I have no place to go. So I would say, let's see if we can get try to get enough food to see you through a couple of weeks so that you can get through that first weekend of the month. Because I think it's gonna be horrendous. And you don't want to be anywhere near a store because there's gonna be people, there's gonna be fights. There's going to be people, they're going to be screening people for weapons. So yeah, if it can be avoided, stay away from this world at the first of the month. This is going to be the first month of these weird situations, and people are going to react that way.
Yeah, I've spent way more in grocery.
For
just in the last
hardly week. Anything.
Just in, this thing was an ounce.
Yeah.
For hardly anything.
Yeah. These guys have always had a wood burning stove. They're burning weird stuff.
Yeah.
Expect more. Anyway, so...
So we do that route for this next week.
Okay. Maybe I have to leave a little earlier. For me, I apologize. Oh, I'm late. Can I be honest though? I'm on salary. I come in when I come in, I leave when I leave, and you pay the money. If you don't like how I do it, you can fire me. But they're not going to do it. Who are they going to replace me with, number one? And how many years is it going to take them to get that rigged? Yeah, Matt saw them earlier. We got all kinds of them coming out now. Great. I don't say that to anybody that matters. No, I'm not going to throw it in their faces. They're being very kind. I said, I'm grateful. But I'm also not going to say, you know, I could play this game and you guys would just have to sit there and lump it. It's hard to say that it's shirking my job. If they say you have to be here at 8 and work to 5, then I have to say, then you have to pay me hourly. And they go, oh, God, no. Okay, forget it. We're not going to bring that up ever again. You go, thank you. Because that's the way it is. If you start acting like it's an hourly job, they've got to pay you like it's hourly.
Including overtime.
Yes, and that means they have to pay me time and a half every time I have to work outside of my regular hours. Yeah, they'll end up saying, well, I got to put you on a split shift. And you go, ha, ha, ha. You're hilarious. Yeah, how long do you want me to stay doing this? Because let me tell you, I can go anyplace else and they won't treat me like this. And you go, ooh. And you go, and you don't pay very well either. And you guys freely acknowledge that one. Okay, that's all right. You don't want to get weird. These are recordings that nobody listens to, and I certainly don't advertise. Oops, where's my little guy? There he is.